The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B., and this is Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio. And as usual, we're going to bring you some information, some stories about guns and ammunition and things like that. And I want to start with innovation, because a lot of people who are not pro-gun enthusiasts will push for innovation in areas that they think sound good, but in reality, probably not as good as they would think. One of the issues that they were pushing for years is the smart guns, the idea that one person can have a gun keyed or programmed to just them and nobody else could fire the weapon. And this would help prevent accidents and somebody taking your gun and shooting you with it. Mostly they're talking about, the main push for this was for kids. So if your kid finds your gun, he wouldn't be able to fire it. Even if he knew how it functioned and everything, he would not be able to activate the trigger because his handprint, fingerprint, whatever jewelry he had to wear to activate it would not be on his hand. Now, a lot of this, initially this was done with guns where they had a special ring with a magnetic switch. You wear that ring, it hits a spot on the gun, releases some internal magnetic safety, and allows you to fire the gun. These had a lot of problems because if you weren't wearing the ring just right, if it didn't hit just the right spot, if someone else had a ring, they could fire your gun. Also, a big problem for me was, what if more than one person in your household is going to use the gun? I mean, you both have to have identically, or all three of you, all five of you have to have identical rings and wear them all the time. And basically, it's one more safety factor that seems like it's a little above and beyond. Then you'd have to sleep with this thing, carry it all the time, never have it off to be able to access that particular weapon. So they had issues with that, and plus there were a lot of times when it strictly failed, you didn't grip the gun just right and it would not fire, even though the person who was supposed to was holding the weapon trying to fire it, it didn't work. Now, I'm all for technology improvements and things, but in this particular case, I find it very difficult to believe that having a magnetic switch on your gun keyed by a ring you're wearing is going to provide any amount of safety to you or the people you're trying to protect. This is something where it's just one more safety factor that you shouldn't have to deal with. And then they've come up with other ones that use fingerprints or skin printing of some sort of identity like that, where each person, it would be key to that person, kind of like your key locks on doors that use fingerprints. Now, these things have been out for years, and sometimes they work flawlessly. Other times, it takes two or three attempts to get the door to open. I've known lots of people with these, and they're never 100% reliable. And if nothing else, I want a weapon that I'm going to use to protect my life to be 100% reliable. I do not want to have some safety feature screwing up my chance to possibly defend my life and get myself killed because the weapon that I bought and trained with was not usable at the time. Because something malfunctioned, something didn't work. I was painting that day or working on the car and I have grease or paint on my hands and it doesn't read my fingerprint properly. I can't afford to take that chance. So to me, it seems like, okay. And in fact, in New Jersey, they actually passed a law saying that no traditional guns would be sold after a certain point. And every gun after that would have to be a smart gun. Now, they got pushback on that. It was 2002 New Jersey did that. And the idea was to encourage smart gun development, that once they require a personalized handgun, then the market would be there for it because that's all people would buy. And no traditional handguns would be allowed to be sold. And of course, this backfired in amazing failure in this particular aspect because people objected to it. They didn't understand a lot of it. Plus, it was going to have problems. You know, how do you program everything and make it work 100% of the time? Start with door locks. When they work 100% of the time, every time, and never have a failure, then we can talk about this. And in New Jersey, if you're going to do that, then why don't you start with the state police or city police? Why don't you start with your law enforcement officers themselves? Give them these smart guns that you think people should have. After all, if you want us to be an example, use yourself as an example. Set the example. You first, as always, with government officials, that was not part of their plan. They only wanted to restrict citizens from having traditional handguns. But thank goodness this got knocked out. It got pushed aside. And it was no longer there. But there's also the viability factor. These guns just, they're not proven. But if you want to have them, go ahead. But start with your own backyard. Start with your own law enforcement officers. Start with the people who protect the mayor and the governors. Things like that. Start with those people. If you think they're so good and you want to push them on everybody else, put your money where your mouth is. Show us that you believe in this technology and you believe it's worthy of protecting you. And then when you see failure after failure after failure, you're going to think differently and think, well, of course, being bureaucrats and elitist government officials, they're going to say, well, it's okay. It's good enough for the people. It's not good enough for me because I'm an elitist government official, but it's good enough for regular people, which is complete horse hockey. Ridiculous to think that the citizen should come above any public servant as far as being able to be somebody who can own what they like when it comes to firearms. The Second Amendment doesn't say, well, shall not be infringed unless we decide we have a way to infringe on it where we think it's right. Where we think, oh, it's for the children. Yeah, right. It's for the children. So when if I have my smart gun and it malfunctioned, my whole family gets killed because my smart gun malfunctioned or didn't work right or had an issue, who's to blame then? Then can you sue the gun manufacturer? Now this would be interesting because in this case you cannot sue weapons manufacturers for people who use their weapons illegally or use them in a way not prescribed or use them in an illegal to commit an illegal act. However, this would be different because the gun itself would be a failed product. It would be something that didn't function as it should. Now, gun manufacturers can be sued if their gun has a safety issue. Like if you drop a gun and it goes off, that's a safety issue. That's something a manufacturer can be sued for. This would be in that same realm. You know, normally you can't sue manufacturers for people using their guns illegal, but here, if the gun malfunctions and you end up not being able to defend yourself, this could be grounds for a lawsuit. And it would just take one big lawsuit to shut down every single smart gun manufacturer. Because they would look at that and say, okay, that's where we're headed. We're headed down into the canyon with no way to stop us. And that would be an interesting lawsuit to hear because, of course, I would wonder if in a liberal government society, would they say, oh no, would they pull out the act that says you cannot sue gun manufacturers for what their guns do in the wrong hands? That's a different situation than this. This is a gun that malfunctioned, didn't work properly, and cost lives. And they would be fully responsible for that according to federal law. So that would be something I'd like to see because that would open these people up to a ridiculous amount of lawsuits and damages and all kinds of things that they would not be protected against under the standard laws that protect firearm manufacturers and actually any manufacturers of anything. Because if you can sue a gun manufacturer for someone misusing their product, you would be able to sue a car manufacturer, a motorcycle manufacturer, a knife manufacturer, anybody who manufactures anything that was used in a crime. You'd be able to sue them. And they said, that's not viable. That's not legal. So you can't do that. But if something malfunctions, like if you hit a hammer and it shatters into pieces and you get all cut up, that could be a faulty product where you could get satisfaction legally by making a lawsuit. Same thing here. If these smart guns do not work or malfunction when you need it and it costs somebody their lives or an injury, that smart gun manufacturer would be responsible for their product not working properly, not working as it is, as it's supposed to. It would be a malfunction in the product because it wasn't designed right or produced properly. And they would probably claim, oh, well, if you have sweaty hands, you can't use it. If you wear gloves, obviously you can't use it. The biometrics are very picky about what they pick up on because they have to be precise enough to identify one person. And yet, lenient enough to be able to allow that one person to have a little bit of flexibility in the way they may grip their gun, the way they hold it, whatever they have on their hands. If they've been painting that day or they've been working on their car and they have grease or paint on their hands, that gun is not going to function. Now, who wants to take a chance with their life, their family's lives, protecting your property with a gun that may or may not function depending on how clean your hands are. Imagine going to, okay, somebody's robbing you. Whoa, 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 let me go wash my hands before you shoot me because I have to make sure my hands are clean so I can get my gun to work. Yeah, completely ridiculous. And I understand if somebody's interested in this technology, it's there. If you want to be the one to try it, by all means, it's available. But for government to try and force out regular standard weapons in favor of these that they're not willing to use themselves, they're not willing to place the bet on their own usage. I say start with government protectors. Start with police who protect politicians. Start with them if you want to push for the smart gun viability. And they won't do it because they know it's not a viable option. It has too many problems, and there's no way that they're going to make this become standard issue on with people because they can't do it. They would be exempting themselves, which violates equality under the law, which they do all the time anyway, but here'd be another time when they'd be violating a constitutional amendment that says people are allowed to keep and bear arms, and you're limiting what arms they can have, but yet giving yourself and your protectors an exemption from this rule. If you're going to push for smart guns everywhere, then put them everywhere. Lead by example. You want to be a leader? Then be a leader. Lead by example. If you just want to be an elitist ruler, then do what you want. You're not going to follow the law anyway. You're going to do whatever you want. You're going to push people below you because you want them to be subservient to your elevated position or what you think is an elevated position. You are strictly a public servant. You are there as a representative of the people in the district or in that state or in that county. That's what you are, politicians. You're representatives. You cannot put yourself above the common citizen because you don't think they're smart enough to deal with whatever it is, or you want to take away their constitutional rights, but yet maintain your own. That is exactly why we fought a war over 240 years ago to fight for independence. You know, it's amazing that people will let, you know, things like this just, they won't even think twice about it, and they're just blinded to it. We fought an entire revolutionary war over a 2% tax on a breakfast beverage. And now, the number of taxes we pay and the amount of laws that violate the Constitution are out there by the thousands, and yet nobody seems to bat an eye. They're too busy watching whatever it is, reality shows, football, or, you know, sports on TV, or, you know, whatever it is. They're too busy being entertained by other forms of media to even look at what the government is doing and what they're taking away from you. Every time they make a law that gives them power above you or gives them special rights that you don't have, they're violating their constitutional oath to uphold the Constitution from all enemies, even if they are those enemies. In fact, any politician who takes the oath to uphold the Constitution and then turns around and passes a gun control law that violates the Second Amendment, they should be kicked out of office immediately for flat out lying, for misrepresenting, for lying, for fraud. If you take that oath to defend the Constitution, you should have to do it, and we should be able to hold politicians responsible for that. You know, if you take the oath, believe in it. Don't just say it because you want the job. If regular people were to lie on the, you know, lie in court, that's different. They call it perjury. And if you're going to perjure yourself by putting your hand on a Bible and swearing to uphold the Constitution and then not doing it, you should be charged with perjury as well. At least start there and then move into fraud and everything else. But, yeah, this, the whole smart gun thing is just, it's not there yet. Eventually it may be, and they're gonna get better, but they can't force the issue like New Jersey tried. That just wasn't gonna happen. And if they wanna force it on yourselves first. First, force all the New Jersey State Police to try it first. Yeah, defend your politicians with these guns. Anyway. I'm done ranting about that because it irritates me that equality under the law doesn't exist when a politician is involved. He puts himself above and beyond regular people, just like with Obamacare when it got passed. Every senator, congressman, and their aides, their spouses, all their families were exempt from the law that Obamacare wanted them to follow. They exempted themselves from this in perpetuity. So it's like they could go on forever and not have to ever buy health insurance under that law because they were exempt. they managed to put in an exemption for themselves. And according to equality under the law, that should not even be allowed to happen. That law should have been struck down immediately as illegal on that one area alone. Not to mention the fact you're forcing somebody to buy something, which, to be honest, I'm kind of torn on that issue because we have to be humanitarian in the way we deal with people. I understand that. You can't turn away somebody who's in need when it comes to medical assistance. However, if that person is so stupid that they can't buy the proper insurance that they need to protect themselves and their families, and they go out and buy something else instead, thinking, oh, I don't need insurance. I don't need to worry about that. And then they end up getting hurt, and they expect the people, the taxpayers, to pay for it. And if you follow the rules, hospitals should not be required to treat people who cannot afford to pay the bills. But of course, we can't do that because that's not kind. It's not humanitarian. It's not the way we should be. So eventually what they had to do is pass a law to force people to buy insurance because they're too dumb to buy it on their own. I understand you're young, you're healthy, you're uninsured, and you think, you know what? I don't need it right now. But then when you do need it, it's going to become so expensive, you're not going to be able to afford it, because the way it works is the younger, healthier people pay for the older people. And then as they get older, the younger people will pay for you. It's a system. It works. But people want to opt out when they don't need it, and they want to opt in when they do need it. Doesn't work like that. But anyway, went off on a tangent there. Now let's get into some good news. I'm sure everybody out there has at one time or another slipped some change, slipped some bills into a vending machine of some sort, gotten a sandwich, a pickle, a drink, something out of a vending machine. Because it's nice, you go, you pick what you want, you don't hold anybody up, you get your drink, you get your food, you get your sandwich, and you put your selection in, you push the buttons, and out it comes. Easy peasy. Well, now there's a company that has set up vending machines that sell ammunition. Yes, you heard me correctly. You can go to the local vending machine and you can buy ammunition. American Rounds is the name of the company, and they installed automated machines in Alabama and Oklahoma, and they put them in grocery stores. So you can go into your local grocery store, pick up all your produce, all your meat, all your cereal and chips and everything else and beer, and then go to the vending machine and buy ammunition. And I thought this was ridiculous at first, because I thought, oh, it can't be right. It must be some internet hoax going on. But no, this is actually true. There are places you can buy ammunition through a vending machine. And apparently what it does is it verifies your identification. If it can verify your information, your identification, then it dispenses the rounds. They have ammunition for handguns, rifles, and shotguns. They're trying to revolutionize how ammunition is sold. So it's kind of funny, because there are grocery stores that have this in it. I think it says 4 in Oklahoma and a couple in Alabama as of now. And apparently there's videos online. You can see how this works. And you just put the money in. You get your ammunition, and away you go. Now, I'm not sure how it's packaged. I assume it comes in boxes or some sort of container and doesn't just let it come spilling out like a slot machine when you win. I'm sure it doesn't do that. But it's funny, because you scan your ID, because in order to buy ammunition, you have to be at least 18 years old for rifle ammunition and at least 21 years old for pistol ammunition. And the technology matches the ID picture to your face. Once that's been confirmed, you pay the money, and a box of shells is all yours. Box of ammo is all yours. Now, legally, they have to make sure someone is of legal age, of course, to use the machine. This is kind of why cigarette machines went out of favor, because they would have had to have cigarette machines be capable of carding people in order to assure that minors didn't use the cigarette machines. And I guess there wasn't enough money in it, or the technology at the time was not good enough to be able to verify people's age. So what they had to do was just keep cigarette machines in places where only people 21 and over were allowed to be. And anybody under that age was not allowed to be there. That becomes a whole different challenge to deal with. But That's the only place I've ever seen cigarette machines anymore, and they are extremely rare. But now we're getting into ammunition machines, and because of the technology, this is available. Now, of course, if they cannot verify your ID for some reason, if they can't match your ID, if your face doesn't look the same as it did in your license, you will be denied a sale. And there's nothing you can do about that at the time because you're dealing with an automated machine. So, you know, it's not a perfect system, but what is? I mean, even if you go to the local hardware store and try and pick up a box of ammo and they want to see your ID, if you look nothing like your picture, they're going to question it, and they have the right to refuse the sale. Here, the machine can, if it cannot verify who you are by your license, it will stop the sale. Will not take your money, will not dispense your ammo, you won't get it. So for those of you whining, oh my God, the children, well yeah, kids cannot use this. Unless they steal someone's ID and modify it to where that ID looks just like them, they can't use it. Can they cheat the machine? I don't know. I guess if they took the time and had the technology, they probably could. But if they're going to do that, they're already breaking the law on 100 other levels anyway. So probably just better off go buying beer while they're at it or stealing a car. You know, if you're going to lie, cheat, and steal, there's not much people can do to stop you in a lot of places. But here, you have a chance to do this, to use these American Rounds machines. Now, I doubt these are going to pop up in the local Kroger or Whole Foods or anything like that anytime soon. Those guys probably hate the idea that this is even available at all. But it'd be great to be able to walk into Whole Foods, grab some lunch, and get a box of ammo to go to the range afterwards if you have an extended lunch hour. So be on the lookout for that. So far, they seem to be working well. They don't seem to have a whole lot of problems, and they seem to be functioning the way they're supposed to. So everything seems to be on the up and up for these things, which is great. I mean, it's just one more use of technology in favor of those who believe in the Second Amendment, those who believe in the right to keep and bear arms, and those who believe practice makes perfect. So get your ammo wherever you can, shoot as often as you can, get as good as you can with your skill set, and always look for ways to improve that skill set. And the best way to improve is by practice, practice, practice. So there we go. Look for the ammo vending machine in your neighborhood, hopefully soon. Hopefully this will become available. Now, I don't know about state laws. A lot of state laws may clash with this. I don't know. Every state's different, but apparently in Alabama and Oklahoma, you can buy ammunition through a vending machine if you verify your age. Just one more thing. So it seems like as much as they push back on gun rights and pull back on things and make it more difficult, somebody's going to use technology to our advantage, help the gun enthusiasts to be able to have an easier time to get things. Now, in California, they would never allow these because I believe you have to have a special card to buy ammunition there. Now, it would be interesting to see if this company can verify people by that card and their license and say, hey, you've got the card required to buy ammunition in that state and you've got an ID showing you're who you are. And California would still get the tax money from that, but I'm sure they would fight it tooth and nail because they don't want that. They don't want anybody buying more ammo than they can use in one time at the range. They don't want you having ammunition in your house just in case. They have a big problem with that. So I doubt you're going to see them in California, New York, Illinois, Oregon, Washington, any of the really liberal areas. You're not going to see them there anytime soon. But they're available, and they're out there, and they seem to be working fairly well. Now, a lot of you, I don't know if you guys have kept up with this, but Canada had a shooting a while back, and as a knee-jerk reaction, they just tried to put in all kinds of gun control. They focused on what they were calling assault rifles, military-style weapons, semi-automatic, not assault weapons, but they called them assault weapons, and they passed laws to keep them out of the hands of people. Now, they asked for them all to be turned in, and I don't believe they got any compensation or minimal compensation for handing them in. So as it turns out, a few thousand were handed in while hundreds of thousands were kept in private hands. And right now, though, they can't use those guns because they're illegal for them to even own. So they can't take them to the range. They have to just collect them in their safes and not do anything with them. But they're still holding on to them because they wanted to take them away from people. But then you run into a case of an arrest in Victoria, British Columbia, where the alleged bad guy had a lot of things suggesting that he violated gun laws. They found 20 different weapons, I believe. Yeah, 20 firearms, 20,000 rounds of ammunition, $27,000 in cash. Oh, and 4.5 kilograms of cocaine and two sets of ballistic armor. Okay, so obviously somebody is into some bad stuff here. But they're trying to use this as a way to push for the gun control that they passed ages ago. And obviously this guy was not just violating gun laws. You got, you know, almost 10 pounds of cocaine sitting in your house. You obviously, it's not for personal use. And I don't know how strict the drug laws are in Canada, but I assume they're similar to the U.S. as far as what you can have, what you can't have. I don't think cocaine is legal in any state or country in North America right now, or even South America. I don't think it's legal anywhere yet. But just having to, you know, but just finding that much cocaine, firearms, ammunition, yeah. Now this is, obviously this guy's a criminal. He's obviously up to no good. And the guns are just a side effect of being in the drug business. But it's funny because I thought it was kind of interesting that they pointed out the guns as being the big factor that they were having trouble with. Oh, he had 20 guns and 20,000 rounds of ammunition. And they kind of left the cocaine out of the discussion, a lot of the news media, or I guess diminished the importance of the fact he had 10 pounds of cocaine. You know, I mean, it's like, and obviously this goes to show you also, if you can smuggle things into the country, whether cocaine, marijuana, Glock 19s, whatever it is, you can smuggle almost anything in if you have the desire to do so. It's not that difficult, apparently. You can bring stuff in, especially into the United States where there are open borders. Now, I don't know if the Canadian borders have tightened up any or if they loosened up any. I don't know how, I don't know what their effect is on that. But apparently, smuggling stuff into Canada is not as hard as they, as apparently it's not as hard as they were trying to make it, because this guy ended up getting weapons, drugs, ammunition, and had a bunch of cash on him, probably because he was smuggling things into the country. So it's funny how politicians think they can control guns by passing laws. And then there's people like this who obviously laws don't mean anything to them and they're violating the law, but the Canadian government's going to say, this means we need stricter laws. We need better laws. It's like the guy violated every law that should have kept him from having all these things. There's no way he should have had any of these in his possession, and yet he managed to have them all. And instead of going after the person who has them, the person who broke the law, they're going to go after everybody. They're going to let one bad apple spoil the whole bunch, and everybody's going to have to pay for one lawbreaker. And there's only so much you can do here, you know? They don't understand. If you're breaking the law, you're violating the law anyway. How are more laws going to help somebody who's breaking the law anyway? It will not. In fact, it just makes everybody else more susceptible to bad things happening to them. You take guns away from honest, law-abiding citizens because of the acts of criminals, you're going to make the criminals the most powerful element in that country. They're going to be able to run ramshot all over everything. They're going to be able to do what they want. They're going to be able to terrorize people. They're going to be able to rob, steal, murder, because they'll have the guns that you took away from all the other citizens. Now, Canada, unfortunately, does not have a Second Amendment in their constitution, and whatever law they did have, a lot of it they repealed recently after the shooting they had there. So they were unable to enforce this in any way. So here we go. And they had a hand-in system at some point. We were supposed to hand in the weapons, and like I say, several thousand people did. The other hundreds of thousands decided, no, I'm just going to sit on it for a while. I'm going to see what happens. Kind of like what happened in this country when they did the pistol brace. When they passed the pistol brace restrictions, they got just a fraction of the number of pistol braces sold. I think they got a couple hundred thousand handed in out of the 40 million that were out there. So it was a tiny, almost inconceivable amount of pistol braces that were handed in. So people are not going to do what they don't feel is right. Non-compliance is going to be the first sign of tendencies of mistrust in your government, or Canadian government, U.S. government, whoever it is. Non-compliance is going to be your first sign of resistance. And that's what it's going to take. Sometimes noncompliance is enough to force politicians to have another look and say, you know what? Maybe we made a mistake here. Maybe we didn't make the right decision. All right. Well, we'll be back after this. We've got to take a few messages, have a few words said about some things you need to buy, things you need to look at, things you need to consider. And we'll be back in a few moments.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is Roger B. on Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio. Yeah, we're talking about gun control in Canada, and I wasn't working. But since they don't have a Second Amendment, they're not protected like people in America are. And if you're in America, now is probably the time, if you're thinking about adding to a collection or adding a new weapon or increasing your amount of ammo you've got, now is the time. I told you guys this back in 2019. Prices had never been lower, and then 2020 happened, and a lot of people got caught off guard as gun prices went through the roof, ammo prices did similarly. Now, the ammo prices are not back to where they were in 2019, but the gun prices have come down to 2019 levels. I was looking at ads, so I subscribe to a lot of, newsletters or sale flyers from a lot of manufacturers and distributors and such, as well you should if you're in the market. It's a good way to get good sale prices on things. Find out what the laws are about ordering guns online in your county, your city, your state. A lot of times you can do it. You just have to pick it. You have to pick it up from a federal firearms license dealer. An FFL dealer has to transfer a weapon to you no matter where you get it from, whether you get it shipped to you from a private individual, whether it gets shipped to the store from another store. You have to go through an FFL to receive a weapon through the mail. So don't think you can just have somebody ship you a gun and it's going to come right to your house. No, it goes to your dealer and then you pick it up and take it home. But the prices are low. I'm seeing AR-15s at under $400 now. Some of the most basic AR-15s are under $400 now. This hasn't been seen in probably 5 years. So, and the weapons are out there. And there's a huge influx of weapons coming from Turkey and from parts of Eastern Europe that they've actually taken a look at what they were doing before. And just like a lot of places, they started off with cheap firearms that weren't necessarily built the best, not the best quality. And they've realized that if they increase the quality, increase the technology, increased the way they distribute these guns, they can be competitive in the American market against American manufacturers. So don't overlook something just because it's not made in the United States. Now, the U.S. probably has some of the best gun manufacturers in the world. However, the government is doing its best to stifle these companies, whether it's a state government, whether it's a federal government. They're making it harder and harder for weapons to be manufactured here in the United States. But there are alternatives, and there are a lot of good weapons out there. And like I say, the prices have not been this cheap in over 5 years. So if you're looking for something, now would be the time. Like I say, AR-15s, guns, magazines, even ammunition is reasonably priced right now. So if you want to get into this, this might be the time to start looking. Now, I'm not going to recommend you buy the very cheapest gun you can find, or least expensive gun you can find. Buy something that's going to suit your needs. Buy something that fits you properly. Buy something that maybe has a few extra features that you were going to add anyway, so you get a little more for your money when you start. But that's something a lot of people have handguns. Most people who own one or two guns have handguns. That's usually the first place people will start when they get into the gun world. Because a handgun is easiest to carry in most urban situations for self-defense. That's what you're going to draw on first when you have somebody breaking into your house, when you have somebody, you know, assault you on a street corner or assault you when you're walking down the sidewalk. You're going to use your pistol to defend yourself. That's your first line of defense beyond trying to talk your way out of it or get out of the fight. The best way to win a fight is not to be there when it happens. So consider that. If you have a way out where you're not putting yourself in danger, but you're actually keeping yourself out of danger, take that path first always. Don't choose to get into an altercation if you can avoid it. That's the easiest way to stay alive and stay out of trouble. Whether your shooting is justified or not, it's still going to cost you a lot of aggravation, a lot of anxiety, and a lot of unknown thoughts about what could possibly happen to you if you end up shooting and killing somebody, or shooting and injuring somebody. It can almost be worse, because then you open yourself up to a lawsuit. If you can't prove that they were assaulting you first, or they prove that they threatened you first. So be careful. Try and avoid the situations. If you know certain parts of town are bad and you can walk a block over and avoid it, by all means, do that every single time. My goal would be to live my whole life never having to draw my weapon against somebody who's intent on doing harm. That would be my ideal situation. So far, so good. But if you're going to get something, if you want to get a gun, now's the time. They're inexpensive. There's 1,000 good manufacturers out there selling hundreds of different models. And it's hard to decide in that first one. I know a lot of people get a lot of their information from TV, from movies, from YouTube videos. And some of that information is very good. Other bits of that information are totally wrong. But you have to start with what you know, what you can find out. The ideal situation would be to find a person who you know and trust, or you know has been involved with weapons for a long time, and they can give you some assistance. Now, all I can warn you is if you ask somebody about a gun and say, I'm thinking about getting a gun, and they recommend you a brand or a model without hearing anything about what you want, not the person you need to talk to. You want somebody who's going to ask you questions before even making a suggestion. Or you might throw something out to them, and they'll tell you what they know about that particular weapon, being as neutral as possible. And then if you ask them for an opinion, they're going to tell you. But basically, they're just going to give you information to start. You don't need to have their opinion right away. If they carry a particular gun and that's the only one they like and they don't like anything else, that's not the person you need to go to. You need to go to somebody who has an open mind, willing to listen to you. You have to tell them what you want. Tell them what you intend to use it for. Tell them if you intend to carry it, keep it in a nightstand drawer, or if you intend to keep it in your truck, keep it in your car, keep it on your person. Tell them what you're going to do with it. Is it for hunting deer? Is it for defending yourself? Tell them what you want to buy the gun for, and then they should be able to give you possible opinions or guide you toward a generic, I guess, collection of weapons to pull from. Like I say, most people ask me about handguns, and, you know, I ask them if they have any ideas. I want to know, what do they think they want? Do they want a semi-auto? Do they want a revolver? Do they want a dirty, hairy gun? Do they want a military-style weapon? What do they want? And then from there, you can see what their needs are, what they intend to do with it, and then guide them from there with as much knowledge as you have or you can find out. And like I say, with the internet these days, it's easy to get opinions. They're all over the place. A lot of them are as worthless as what they cost, which is they're free. So a lot of them are basically worth nothing. But if you know somebody who's been involved in the firearms industry or at least been shooting for a long time, by all means, talk to them first. That's who you want to get information from. They should ask you questions. And as you answer those questions, they should help you narrow down your choices. Now, you may see things on TV and say, that's the kind of gun I want, even not knowing anything about it. I've had people who do this all the time. They will ask me something about a gun they saw on TV, and that's, oh, yeah, I like that. Well, you know, let's put one in your hand first. Let's see if you can operate it. You know, you may have small hands and can't operate a large handgun easily. Or you may have large hands and a small handgun's gonna get buried in there. And you're not gonna be able to manipulate the controls properly. You know, a lot of factors have to go into choosing a weapon. That's why the first thing I would recommend to do is go to a range where they have a rental counter. Pay the 10, 15, 20 bucks, whatever it is. Usually that opens up the rental counter where you can shoot any gun in the rental counter. In that general vicinity, like say you rent a pistol, you can usually shoot any pistol there. There are exceptions. Sometimes they have weapons with suppressors, which cost a little more, or rifles, or shotguns, or fully automatic weapons. But you want to get a basic pistol, you can probably go to the range counter, ask about renting the guns, pay the rental fee, and you can usually shoot anything in there. Usually the only restriction is you must use ammo purchased from them. They don't want you bringing in hand loads or buying ammo somewhere else and bringing it in there, them not knowing if it's safe or set up for that particular weapon. This way, they'll give you the right caliber for what you want to shoot, and they'll give you the right ammo. Like say, you won't be able to buy plus P pluses to shoot in a revolver that's a super lightweight 38 special. They don't want to damage their guns either, so they're very particular about the ammo. But still, it's a good way to get a lot of different guns in your hand. For just the price of a box of ammo, you can shoot three or four different guns. Sometimes more than that, sometimes less, but you get to try them out and see. You may have one you just think you are in love with. Then you may shoot it and realize, oh my God, it pinches my web of my hand right here. Oh, it just bit me. That's, you know, my thumb is too big to fit on the side of that. You'll realize any issues should come out when you first start shooting it. And you may pick up one that you didn't think you'd like, and it may fit your hand perfectly, and you may be an excellent shot with that particular weapon because it fits you properly. So take the time to learn what you're going to need versus what you want. And what you want will sometimes coincide with what you need. Sometimes they go hand in hand. Other times they're totally off base. Like someone may see Dirty Harry and decide they want a 44 Magnum. And I'm like, you know what? That's what you want. That's fine. But let's shoot one first. Put one in your hands. Pull the trigger a few times. See how it feels. See if you still like it when you're done. If you do, then maybe that's what you want. But if you do, shoot it and you realize, no, that's way too much recoil. That's way too much muzzle flash. This gun is way too heavy. I can't carry this around on a belt. You know, get the information you need before you buy something. And worst case scenario, you buy something, you don't like it, there are ways. Any gun shop will take a trade-in. A lot of states have private sales you can go to or gun shows you can go to and trade it on something else. So there's ways out of it. If you make a mistake, there's ways to fix it. But better to learn before you make the mistake of buying the wrong gun. Or maybe you just decided, you know, I'll collect it. I'll get another one instead. That may have been going from your only gun to being your not favorite gun, and your next gun may be your favorite gun. But you may keep that one as a backup or keep it in reserve. Or maybe your wife will use it. Or maybe one of your friends would want to buy it from you if you're in a state where person-to-person sales are allowed and legal. Most of them, you have to be a U.S. citizen. Have a green card or whatever the registration federally is, and then most states will allow you to transfer weapons between people as long as you know they're not a convicted felon and they're a resident of that state. At least that's the way it is in Georgia. As long as they're not a felon and they're a resident of the state, you can sell private individuals guns, and they can buy them, sell them, trade them, whatever. That's all legal. But every state varies. Be sure you know what the laws are in your state. Like say, the gun restricted states, Illinois, California, Washington, Oregon, New York, New Jersey, these are going to all have different laws that'll probably be much more difficult to facilitate a private sale. So be aware of that when you get it. Know the law. Don't break the law if you can help it. You know. If you can help it. Yeah, sometimes I have a lead foot. I break the law almost every day. But that's okay because it's not gun related. And that's all we're talking about here. So go practice with a gun you think you like. Then once you buy your gun, you find one you like the way it fits, you shot it, it's comfortable. Now you're set. You bought your first weapon. Now you're going to need the accessories to go with it. You're going to need a place to keep it. I see people all the time just keep it in the box it came in. Which is not, it's not the best situation. For one, most of the boxes are cardboard. Some of them are plastic. And to keep it in the box with the cleaning accessories, the manuals, the lock, all the accessories that comes with extra magazines, is not going to give you the best accessibility. Unless, of course, you just want to have it, you know, in the case of an emergency where you're not going to be able to get to it quickly. Like I said, if you're going to keep it locked in a box and not use it unless you plan on using it, that's another story. Most of the time when you need a gun, you're not planning on needing it. It happens spur of the moment. Things go bad somewhere. Things get crazy. Something happens. Someone's breaking into your house. Someone's, you know, on your driveway trying to break windows to get in. They're trying to get to you, your family, damage your property. You need to be able to have that gun very quickly. Now, there are boxes you can buy that have locks on them. And these locks usually have very quick access. They have finger pads on them, combinations you can hit with your hands. And most of them do not have any kind of combination that has to be seen with your eyes. Usually they're tactile, which is what you want. Because if it's in the middle of the night, you get up, you may not be able to see very well at first when you first get up. You want to be able to get to your gun quickly and easily without having to look carefully at a combination that you can't see when you don't have your contact lenses in or have your glasses handy. You want to be able to get yourself in a position to defend yourself as quickly as possible. So you may want a box to store it in. Now, if you don't have any children and you feel like your gun would be safe in your nightstand, then at least get a holster. And one thing I would say get with every single gun you keep in your house ready to use, have a flashlight in the same drawer as that gun. Because you can't shoot what you can't see, or you shouldn't shoot what you can't see. Let's put it that way. Especially if you have other people living in the house. Or you have, you know, if you have a way for animals to get in there and all of a sudden you run into the kitchen and you realize, oh, it's just the cat eating the dog food. And then you walk out of the kitchen and realize, wait, I don't have a cat. What the hell was that? Had a friend do that, realize he had a raccoon eating the food that was laid down on the kitchen floor. And he just was so sleepy, he thought it was just the cat eating the food. But, you know, be aware, because you got to be ready for that. And a flashlight will help you identify people. Now, learn how to use a flashlight when clearing or checking your house. One thing you don't want to do is walk around with the flashlight on all the time, because it just becomes – flashlights work both ways. They light up where you're pointing them, and they light their way right back to you. And if you do have an intruder, all he's going to do, if he's out to cause harm or cause damage or kill you or shoot you or rob you, he's going to aim where that flashlight's coming from. So you want to flip it on, scan around the room quickly, shut it off. Give your eyes time to adjust a little bit too. Ideally, you know your house better than anybody else. You know your surroundings. You're going to be able to navigate better than a guy who just broke in, never been in your house before. He doesn't know that your kid leaves that toy at the base of the stairs every single day. He's not going to know that kind of stuff. You do. You have an advantage in a dark house, especially if it's yours. But if you need to identify somebody, or also, if you're searching and you feel pretty certain that there's somebody in the house, then at least you know you can see what it is before you take a shot. You know, you don't want to have an animal, somebody who, you know, a family member who is out late or something. You want to make sure you avoid that situation. You don't want to make an, you don't want to have an accident when it comes to shooting somebody who you think is invading your territory, your space, your property. You want to make sure whoever it is truly intent on doing harm before you shoot them. Now, granted, if they're there and they're not supposed to be, that's probably one really good way to tell. Now, if they're not armed, be careful. Even though most states have a castle doctrine, meaning if someone breaks into your house and you're not supposed to be there, you can probably shoot them. But you really don't want to shoot somebody unarmed if they're willing to leave. If you can convince them, you know, get out, I have a gun, I will shoot you, and they say, oh, where's the door, let me find it, I'm leaving, I'm walking out, I'm not going to touch anything, I'm not taking anything with me, I just want to get out. Let them go. You don't want to get into a lawsuit with someone, even though they weren't supposed to be there, even though you could legally shoot them. Don't pull down that amount of legal crap on yourself. Especially if they're willing to walk away, if you're willing to get out of there. Now, granted, I would certainly make sure they're out before you you know, disarm yourself or relax at all. Make sure that gun is trained on whoever's leaving. Make sure you have a view of them. Make sure they get out of your house. And if they're not alone, that may be a good distraction technique. They'll get your attention. They'll walk towards the front door while someone else comes around and tries to disarm you. So don't be hyper-focused. Watch them, but keep an eye on your surroundings. Try and keep your back to a wall while you're doing this. Make sure if they're going to leave, that's fine. Let them leave, but make sure they're not with somebody else and they're just trying to distract you. You walk away from that wall, they come up behind you, you leave yourself open to a possible attack. And what happens? The guy who's there turns around, comes after you because now they got you. So just be aware of that. Be careful. Make a plan. Find a way to scan the house. Practice using your flashlight for brief, intermittent flashes of light just to fill a room for a second. And if you do see somebody, be careful, because if they shoot at, if they are armed and they shoot at the light, they're going to be shooting right at you. That's another thing. If you hold your light properly in the opposite hand you shoot with, you should hold it away from your body. I know this sounds kind of weird, but you hold it away from your body, so if they do shoot at the light, they're not shooting at your body. You're not shooting at your face or chest. They're shooting at your extended arm. If you've got room to do that, that's fine. Push it up underneath your other arm that's holding the gun. You push your weak hand under your strong hand. Hold the weapon light or light on the other side of the weapon. I know this sounds weird, but if you're holding a gun right-handed, you put your left hand under your elbow, and you're going to hold the gun pointing outward, or hold the flashlight pointing outward from there. That gives you a little bit of safety margin. If they start shooting at that flashlight, you're less likely to get hit in a critical area if they aim properly. So keep that in mind. Practice that. Go around your house. Try and shut the lights off and walk around. See what you run into. See if there's any place you need, may need to clean up one of the corners in the house just to be able to get around it easily. Just to be able to know what's there and what's not there. Your house is your, that's your territory. That's your, you're the home team. So you should have every advantage by being in that house versus an intruder who would come in and decide they want to take something from you, whether it's, you know, they're coming after a wife, children, anything like that, or your dog, whatever. Be prepared to defend yourself in your own home. That is your castle, your house. Know your way around it. Know what you have to do to plan. And one thing I'll say, if it's at night, don't go flipping all the lights on. You know, that's probably not a good idea, because then everybody has good visibility. You have the advantage being in the dark because you know where everything is. You know where the walls are. You know where the doors are. You know where the doorways are. You know where things usually get left or don't get left. Take advantage. Take the home field advantage. Be aware of that. Be cautious about that. And don't shoot anything you cannot see. That just, it's just, there's so many things that can go wrong with that. And it happens all the time, especially with people who have multiple people living in one house. Somebody's coming home late, somebody trips on something, all of a sudden they think somebody's burglarizing the house, and boom, there's an altercation, the wrong person gets shot, and that becomes a huge problem for everybody involved. The guy gets shot, the guy does the shooting, nobody wants to be in that situation, so try and avoid that. And it's hard to think about this stuff because you don't think about it until it happens. You're sitting there watching television, you think, oh my God, what if someone broke into my house right now? Where's the nearest weapon? Where would I go to be evasive? Where would I go to get cover? Where would I go to get concealment? How fast could I get to my weapon? And how fast could I threaten the intruder and try and force him to leave before I'd have to shoot him? It's just, you know, it's just an exercise. It's a mental exercise. You can go through it. When you go home tonight, you sit down on the couch or sit in front of your computer, watch a TV show, stop and think, what if somebody kicked in the front door right now? Where are you in relationship to that? Do you have a buffer zone? Can you get to your weapon quickly enough if you're not carrying it on you? Because I know a lot of people, when they get home, they get relaxed, they feel safe in their environment, and I get that. You should be safe in your own home. You should feel that way. But you also have to be alert, especially depending on where you live and what the crime is like. Your house may not be the safest place to be. You may not be someone who can just forget about the possibility of criminals coming to your home, breaking in, causing damage, whatever it may be. So you have to be astutely aware that you are always in a possible situation where you may have to defend yourself or your family or your property or whatever it may be. So learn the territory, learn your way around, and you should, of course, know where all the light switches are in case you do turn them on, but also have a flashlight with good batteries in it in that nightstand next to that weapon. Especially if you live in a more rural area and whatever you're going to come across may not be a person, but might be an animal of some sort, you want to identify it before you start blasting away in your house. You know, most of the time animals will leave if given the opportunity. Same thing with a burglar or robber. If given the opportunity, most of the time they will leave unless they're there for something very specific. Most of them don't want to run into a homeowner. They don't want to run into anybody. They want to get what they came to get some valuables, and get out. If you catch them in the act, they'll most likely get out without taking anything if you catch them soon enough. Get them out of your house first if you possibly can. Now, if they're armed and they threaten you, don't take a chance. Shoot immediately. Cut them down. Don't stop shooting till they're on the ground and they're disarmed. You wait till that hand falls open and that gun is down. And make sure you know what they're carrying. Although, if someone's in your house, they give up a lot of their rights right there. But still, you don't want to end up shooting somebody who just had a cell phone in their hand, if you can help it, because that's going to look really bad, shooting an unarmed person in your house, even though they weren't supposed to be there. Most of the time, it'll probably be okay, but don't take a chance on that. Identify your target before you shoot. That's one of the first four rules of handgun safety. Keep your finger off the trigger until you are on target and ready to shoot, and make sure your target is what you think it is. You know, you don't want to see a, you know, your wife brought home dry cleaning and hung it in the hallway instead of putting it in the closet, and you think there's somebody there. You know, flashlight. Flashlight should be the first thing you grab if you hear a noise. Second thing should be your weapon. And then it's time to go hunting. Make sure you have a plan. Tell whoever's, if you're sleeping with somebody, make sure they know to stay there or go to their designated area and stay there. You don't want to have them maybe following you around the house, maybe popping up somewhere where you're not expecting them. You want to make sure you have complete control over where everybody you need to know where they are is. You don't want people wandering around your house or trying to follow you or keep up with you or go search other rooms unless you've made that plan and you're both capable of working together like that as a two-man clear team or two-person clear team. So do that. Be careful and make a plan and practice it. I know it sounds weird to walk around the house even with just your toy gun and walk around, clear corners, look around corners, use your flashlight in a dark house to see where someone is most likely to hide, where they'd be most likely to get an advantage over you. Try to eliminate those. Light the darkest corners first. Quickly identify if anybody's there, then move on. Shut the flashlight off, move on to the next one. Now, ideally, if you can use a flashlight with a red lens, that is extremely helpful because a red lens will not ruin your night vision. So you can do that. And also, it's harder for an intruder to see a red flashlight as well. So that's a consideration. If you have a flashlight, get a red lens cover for it. That makes things a lot easier in really dark situations. All right, I am Roger B., and this has been Locked and Loaded, and you have been listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.